WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in the eastern U.S., where dangerous weather has been battering states from south to north. A series of powerful tornadoes killed six people in Middle Tennessee over the weekend, among them a toddler.
I heard a two-year-old is gone, and I have a two-year-old, and I can't handle that. And my baby's at home sleeping peacefully in his bed. And I still have it.
Temperatures dipped into the mid-20s there overnight. More than 20,000 people still have no power. The same system has dumped massive amounts of rain on parts of New York, New Jersey, and southern New England. As the battle rages in southern Gaza, the BBC's Jeremy Bowen reports the situation for Palestinian civilians is only getting worse.
At Al Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis, they laid out the wrapped bodies of people killed in the night by Israel. At the end of the line was Asia Abdul Wahab, a baby killed on the day she was born, laid across the bodies of her mother, also called Asia, and her father Yahya. Don't cry, he told their son Mohammed. They're in heaven.
About 137 hostages are still believed to be held in Gaza. The situation there overshadows this day as the UN marks the 75th anniversary of the Declaration of Human Rights. Correspondent Cammie McCormick.
UN Human Rights Chief Volker Turk in Geneva.
We live among such failures today, with the turmoil and suffering that they produce.
Never have there been so many conflicts around the world, 55, the most since the post-war period, but with attention especially on Gaza.
My thoughts go to the millions of people suffering unbearably in the occupied Palestinian territory, notably Gaza.
Our latest CBS News poll finds most Americans disapprove of President Biden's handling of the war. CBS's Ed O'Keefe says that could make a big difference in battleground Michigan.
Small but influential group of voters inside a big county, inside a big swing state that Joe Biden needs to win, that Donald Trump wants to win back. If you start losing those small groups when these elections are being won on the margins, you're in real trouble.
Donald Trump's had a change of heart. He's decided not to testify for a second time at his New York civil trial, where he was set to be the final defense witness today. Mr. Trump explained on his social media platform, he testified, quote, very successfully and conclusively last month and has nothing more to say. His former attorney, Rudy Giuliani, is scheduled to appear in federal court in Washington for the damage portion of his defamation case involving two elections workers in Georgia. S&P futures down 2. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
This holiday season.
U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in the eastern U.S., where dangerous weather has been battering states from south to north. A series of powerful tornadoes killed six people in Middle Tennessee over the weekend, among them a toddler.
I heard a two-year-old is gone, and I have a two-year-old, and I can't handle that. And my baby's at home sleeping peacefully in his bed. and I still have him.
Temperatures dipped into the mid-20s there overnight. More than 20,000 people still have no power. The same system has dumped massive amounts of rain on parts of New York, New Jersey, and southern New England. As the battle rages in southern Gaza, the BBC's Jeremy Bowen reports the situation for Palestinian civilians is only getting worse.
At Al-Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis, they laid out the wrapped bodies of people killed in the night by Israel. At the end of the line was Asia Abdul Wahab, a baby killed on the day she was born, laid across the bodies of her mother, also called Asia, and her father Yahya. Don't cry, he told their son Mohammed. They're in heaven.
About 137 hostages are still believed to be held in Gaza. The situation there overshadows this day as the UN marks the 75th anniversary of the Declaration of Human Rights. Correspondent Cammie McCormick.
UN Human Rights Chief Volker Türk in Geneva.
We live among such failures today with the turmoil and suffering that they produce.
Never have there been so many conflicts around the world, 55, the most since the post-war period, but with attention especially on Gaza.
My thoughts go to the millions of people suffering unbearably in the occupied Palestinian territory, notably Gaza.
Our latest CBS News poll finds most Americans disapprove of President Biden's handling of the war. CBS's Ed O'Keefe says that could make a big difference in battleground Michigan.
Small but influential group of voters inside a big county, inside a big swing state that Joe Biden needs to win, that Donald Trump wants to win back. If you start losing those small groups when these elections are being won on the margins, you're in real trouble.
Donald Trump's had a change of heart. He's decided not to testify for a second time at his New York civil trial, where he was set to be the final defense witness today. Mr. Trump explained on his social media platform, he testified, quote, very successfully and conclusively last month and has nothing more to say. His former attorney, Rudy Giuliani, is scheduled to appear in federal court in Washington for the damage portion of his defamation case involving two elections workers in Georgia. S&P futures down 2. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
This holiday season.
Oh, let me unmute you there. You got to unmute yourself, actually.
There you go. There. Yes, okay. I interviewed.
Were you yelling at your kid? You were yelling at your kid, weren't you? That's why you didn't mute it.
No, she's still sleeping. I think.
Oh, okay. Well, then yelling at her would be a bad idea. Yeah.
We don't want to wake her up. I talked to 21 kindergartners last week. So
you talked to 21 kindergartners?
Yes. Oh. The school had they all wanted to really participate, the teachers. And so they had 21 kids ready. And oh my gosh, some I just laughed and some were just so funny. And then some I thought, whew, I don't know how your teacher does this all day.
and isn't that funny? Because there's so many people like, oh, I can do what a teacher does. No, sir, you cannot.
No.
No. All right, so let's give a little sample of what's going on here. Are we going to do what they want for Christmas first?
Sure. So this was in Bloomer Elementary School.
Bloomer Elementary School. Mm-hmm. And what do you want for Christmas? So
this is little Emery, actually. She's a kindergartner.
Wait, you're Emery?
No.
Okay. Different Emery. All right, let's give a listen.
What do you want for Christmas?
I want a dog. I want a Santa stuffy and reindeer stuffies.
I want all the boy stuff.
I want all the boy stuff. Elf on the shelf.
What?
Elf on the shelf. I want a Santa stuffy and an elf stuffy.
Apparently, little stuffed animals are a big thing this year with the kindergartners.
Stuffies. Yeah, so I forgot. That was an array of children. I just went down the line.
Yes, you did. So. Yep. It just looks like a little assembly line. What do you want for Christmas? She'd have made a great elf, you know, just pre-screening all these kids for Santa. What do you want for Christmas? Yes. What do you want?
You're all getting stuffies.
You're all getting stuffies. Remember the first time Easton, one of my grandsons, he's 9 now, and he first referred to stuffies, and I did not get it at all. And then finally, you know, points to, we have a big pile of them from over the years. I'm like, oh, that's what you like. Okay, good. So yeah, well, Santa stuffies. Well, that's nice. Well, but that's only going to be for the kids who are on the nice list, right?
Well, yes. And I asked them, so the other question, another question I asked them several, was if they thought they were on the naughty or nice list. So right. This is Emery talking about that in Bloomer.
That would be 2357.
That is 23. Okay, cool. I got the right one. Now, here we go. Yep.
I think I am. Sometimes I'm naughty and nice. So I think Santa has a pencil. And when I'm nice, sometimes he puts me on the nice list. And when I'm naughty, sometimes I go on a naughty list.
Well, it's a good thing. That pencil got a big old eraser, I got a feeling. You know? It's like...
Well, most of the kids said they were on the nice list, they thought, because they were kind and they helped others and they weren't mean to their brother or sister, or they went to bed when they were told. And then one little boy I asked immediately, said, he's a naughty. That's just naughty.
There's no question. And I don't care.
And I don't care. I'm proud of it.
You did not.
I'm the best kind of naughty. All the people love me.
I don't need your stuffies.
And then I asked them also, you know, if you're on the naughty list, how do you get put back on the nice list? So there were lots of ideas and thoughts how they could do that. There's and, you know,
pardoning system, the impossible expungement of record. But you have to get letters of recommendation. There's a process.
Approvals.
Yeah.
Well, and you can't talk to the kids at Christmas time without talking about some of the, you know, the mechanics of it, like the reindeer. Those presents don't just drop out of the sky. The reindeer's got to bring them. Selena, do you feel like maybe they're not watching the Rudolph the Reindeer special enough or hearing enough based on you talking to them?
Well, I mean, they knew Rudolph. I asked them, you know, can you name reindeer, All Santa's reindeer? How does Santa get down the chimney or get into your house? I mean,
look, everybody knows Justin Timberlake too, but yeah, do you know the rest of NSYNC or Backstreet or whatever? So,
JC Chavez, Chris Kirkpatrick, Joey Fatone, and Lance Bass. Next.
Greg's on the not nice list for knowing all the. Was that Backstreet Boys?
Pat, you adorable man.
Yeah.
Insane.
All right, let's ask these kids. Do they know their reindeer names?
Mm-hmm. Do you know the names of Santa's reindeer?
I know. Okay. One's Rudolph.
Any others?
One's Donner.
One's Blinson.
Okay.
Blinson.
Q-on.
Okay, any more?
What?
There's lots more.
Donner and Blitzen.
I need the song to do it.
Yeah.
Need the song.
They couldn't sing the song for us.
No. Did one of them say? Did one of them say Dahmer?
There's QAnon and Dahmer.
QAnon, I don't know. And there were two little boys. Some teachers sent me out like in pairs, and some sent the whole five at a time. So, but sometimes the two at a time, one set of little boys, he named a few. And then I asked the other little boy then who was out with him. And then he's like, I don't know. And then the other little boy was like, didn't you just hear me? Names. Oh my gosh, I was just laughing so hard.
Oh, it's amazing anything gets done sometimes, you know. Those teachers are really the best. So what about you? What's your holiday weekend gonna look like? Do you travel? Do you have anybody over at your place?
Yeah, I have the Christmas hosting duties. Ooh. My family comes to
hero
my house.
Hero.
Wow.
Yes. And we started I'm a Christmas tree freak. So I love Christmas tree decorating and getting a tree. And that's our favorite day is getting a tree. So we're known for like having an obnoxiously larger size tree. That's like,
I see a picture of that over the weekend and Whiskers was sitting down at the bottom.
Yeah,
and it's like, I mean, this tree looks like it's exploding in color.
Awesome.
I mean, In a tasteful way, you know, but yeah, you are not kidding. You go all out on the tree.
Well, yeah, and it's silly. It looks ridiculous because it's disproportionate to the size of, you know, the living room or the area that it's in. So
it's just, you know, it's a little full.
But my dad and I, it was always a thing. He and I always went and got our Christmas tree at home. So I continue that, and like it's a big thing. So and so now we started the Saran wrap ball. Have you guys seen that or done that? So you use oven mitts, and so beforehand, like the person wraps all trinkets and lottery tickets or whatever you want in these just Saran wrap, and just keeps rolling and sticking little treasures inside. And then on your holiday gathering, then you have these big balls, and then you unwrap them with oven mitts. So, and you pass it around.
You unwrap the Saran wrap balls with oven mitts at the trinkets you've wrapped inside.
Exactly. And so it's like you have like, I don't know, 10 seconds or whatever. And if you, then you have to pass it along. And so if you can get the trinket out, then you, you know, get that.
That is organized torture that you would do on your guests. That is really something. Well, good. Well, I hope it's a lot of fun. Can't wait to hear afterwards, you know, what Santa brings you. Although apparently there's only 3 reindeer this year. So they may or may not get to your house.
No.
We'll see how that goes. Let's check temperatures now at 7:15. Now that I've remembered to do that, unlike last hour, up here on Lake Wissota, it's 21 degrees. Hayward is at 18. Park Falls, 17. Wausau's at 19 degrees right now. Green Bay is at 26. La Crosse, 24 degrees. Wisconsin Rapids, 20. Oshkosh, 24. Madison, 22. Waukesha, 21. So, yeah, definitely cooler than it was back on Friday, but dry. And at this point, I guess we're getting really close to having to ask that question about a white Christmas. Now, it's still too early yet, but you can sense it looming on the horizon. Let's see how things look to start off the week with weatherology meteorologist Jennifer Vucicki. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, well, it's not too difficult of a forecast here this week overall. It actually looks like a relatively average day for most today. Highs this afternoon getting into the mid to low 30s from Wisconsin Rapids southward. Upper 20s around Amory and Baldwin through Wausau, becoming mostly sunny for the southern half of the state, otherwise mostly cloudy or more of a mix of clouds and sunshine for the rest. Sunny or becoming sunny tomorrow for everyone, slightly cooler as a brief weak cold front pushes through. Not much of a difference in temperatures overall, mid to low 30s from Richland Center to Milwaukee, mid to upper 20s for central and west central Wisconsin. Wednesday, though, starting to warm back up as a warm front begins to push through. Sunny across the board, highs in the 30s for all the listening areas. Thursday, sunshine again, even warmer with that warm front coming in, with highs in the mid to low 40s for all. Then on Friday, it looks like some cloud cover coming into the state. Temperatures similar to Thursday, actually, with highs once again in the mid to low 40s.
All right, Jennifer, thanks. Great. That sounds great. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
Definitely somebody has got a real Monday vibe going here. And I'm going to make it worse by staying up too late watching the Packer game that's coming up tonight, where they're in New York to play the Giants. The string of injuries is not good. Quarterback Jaire Alexander will miss a 5th consecutive game. Christian Watson is already out with a hamstring injury. The list of Packers with a questionable status to play tonight include running back Aaron Jones with a bad knee, safety Darnell Savage, cornerback Eric Stokes. Also, linebacker Quay Walker is doubtful. You can catch the game on WRCO-FM, radio from the center in Richland Center, WRJN AM and FM in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. The Badger women's volleyball team is headed to the Final Four. They defeated Oregon 3-1 on Saturday night to earn their trip to Tampa. They will play Texas on Thursday night, possibly setting up the best possible showdown for a national title. If the Badgers were to win, and if Nebraska were to beat Pitt in the other semifinal, there would be quite the championship match tipping off on Sunday afternoon. And the Bucks host the Bulls tonight at 7. You can hear that game on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Back with more with Selena Heller coming up in just a bit, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning. When you're here, you're up north.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. K.
I don't know if Greg is handy, but now I feel like now I've got to weigh every Christmas song off of him. The Waitresses and Christmas Wrapping. Where are we, Greg? Well, he's dancing.
Love it.
I'm going to think that's good.
Looking like he likes that one.
Yeah. I was actually a late convert to this. There's a certain phase of parenting where it's like you feel like you lose all sense of, you know, current event and contemporary culture. And at some point you start hearing things, you go, hey, I don't remember ever hearing that song before. It's like, well, that song's like 10 years old. Oh, okay. Well, good. Well, now I like it. So here it is. And that's definitely why I still like that one whenever that one comes up.
It's a fun song.
It is. The other thing that we noticed listening to holiday songs last night was, you know, there's all kinds of different Christmas channels and music services and whatnot. And there's a couple of times where people are remaking tunes, and look, there's remakes that work. Don't get me wrong, but every so often, like somebody, Ingrid, somebody or another, tried to do a slow, gentle version of Mariah Carey's "All I Want for Christmas." Sherry and I were almost yelling at the radio, like, "No, stop! You can't leave that one alone. It's a classic. Don't touch it." You know?
Do you guys have a favorite Christmas song?
No, I don't
know. Oh, Selena.
This is bad.
We've talked about our least favorite.
Well, yeah.
I mean, for me right now, you know, Mariah Carey is still the queen. You know, "All I Want for Christmas" is still like the gold standard for modern, you know, Christmas tunes, and it's original, not just another remake. But I will say, right on her heels is Kelly Clarkson's "Underneath the Tree," because again, something we don't talk about a lot here, that a 59-year-old man is a Kelly Clarkson stan, but over here, I love that voice, I really do. So
she's amazing. She writes good songs, and she's just a good person that we know of for now. Who knows?
That we know of. Yes, exactly. Selena, is there one that you absolutely like, the first one you play? Because I will say, in terms of first ones I play, there's two albums, and I played them both yesterday as well. Charlie Brown, Christmas, you know, all the Vince Guaraldi tunes, and John Denver and the Muppets. I love all things Muppets, but the John Denver and the Muppets Christmas album, that's it. How about you, Selena?
That's funny. My just all-time favorite, any version of "O Holy Night."
Very nice.
And there's an Emmanuel song that I just love, and I can't remember who sings that, but that one goes way back.
Okay. Mr. Bach.
Greg?
When we go classic, "O Holy Night." Mm-hmm. You can't not cry when you hear that song. I have to say, I do love, sorry, Pat, I do love "Wonderful Christmas Time."
Is it really one of your favorites?
It really is. Yes, I get legit happy when I hear that song. The opening is so bright, and it's just like I should be walking down the street holding some bags with Christmas presents, but I'm not. I'm at home ordering presents on Amazon. Point is, I love that song. But also, "All I Want for Christmas Is You" by Mariah Carey, which I didn't start loving till about 3 years ago. Like, I was always in the background, but then one day I'm like, this song is so good. And then "Last Christmas" by Wham.
I like that one too. I do. Especially, you know, especially with George Michael's passing, you know, that you're not going to be able to hear
on Christmas.
The way that he can, you know, really take some songs in great directions. Just a tremendous voice and a tremendous loss. Christmas trees now, Selena. You have been working on a story about being able to cut down Christmas trees in state forests, which to me sounds like the kind of thing that gets you in handcuffs.
I wasn't, yeah.
Apparently, yeah, there's you can do it the right way. So what's the right way?
I had no idea. I thought, what? You can cut down a Christmas tree from one of the northern state forests in Wisconsin. Here's a little rundown. Black River State Forest, Brule River, Flambeau, Governor Earl, Peshtigo River, Governor Knowles, Northern Highland. Those are all of the state forests in northern Wisconsin. There's none in southern Wisconsin that you can cut them from. But you just go there and you get a permit, and they're like an average of $5 to get a permit, and you can go in the state forest and cut down a Christmas tree. No idea.
Do you have to pay for like pay for the permit, but do you have to like pay to go and cut the tree? Like you would essentially like buying a tree. And that's it.
The average of $5, they said, for a permit. That's it.
I suppose you're doing some of their work for them, you know, in terms of forest maintenance, you know, kind of.
That's what they say.
Oh, I want to start doing that.
Isn't that interesting? I didn't even know that. But if you don't, I mean, $5, that's pretty good deal. Pick out your own, get strap on the snowshoes if we have snow, but it doesn't look like we are.
Dad, did you bring the saw? Sorry, Christmas vacation will just always be stuck in my head when I think about going out to the woods and cutting down your own tree. little bit of sap in there. You also have a story for us about the Dells Mill, which is just south of Eau Claire around Augusta. And I have a feeling that at least 90% of Wisconsin has seen a photo of the Dells Mill, because I mean, it is just like the quintessential picture of an old mill. You may not know that it's in Augusta when you see it, but here's the thing. I didn't know that your story says here, it's still milling flour and corn.
I know. Isn't that incredible? It goes back to 1864, the mill was built, and Wisconsin was only a state for 16 years. And it's incredible. Like, this is the most picturesque spots in Wisconsin. It's beautiful. It has a water wheel. So it just has a little dam, and it's just so beautiful in all seasons. There's some pictures out there that fall pictures and a winter picture. But just recently, an Amish family bought the whole place, and they refurbished it. They even redid the dam. There's really neat pictures out there of them refurbishing and redoing the dam, and they redid the building and even the water wheel. So it's a red paint job on the building, so it looks just even more beautiful. And they mill flour and corn. And I thought, okay, do they have a phone, or how do I get a hold of somebody to tell me kind of an update on what it does? Is it actually still working? And it is. I called like one of the city offices, and the person there, just, she's like, I know, I'll find out some things for you. And she was wonderful. And she said, she got back to me and she said, it actually still is. It's still working. And it's just a really beautiful place. And then on Fridays and Saturdays, they give tours, and those are really interesting. And you can learn all about it and what they do. And but that starts in May. So May through October, you can go for a tour.
Well, this is fascinating, because I, you know, on Facebook, there's all kinds of different groups and things, and there's like photography groups. And of course, around the Chippewa Valley, you know, I get photos every now and then from, you know, a Chippewa Valley photography this, or Eau Claire photography that. Mm-hmm. And I recall seeing like some drone pictures of the mill, and I was sure it was like colorized, because now you mentioned the paint job.
Yes.
Because I'm used to seeing it in a bit more rustic condition, shall we say. But so that was a real photo.
That's what it looks like. Being fixed up. It's amazing. It looks beautiful.
Oh, that's outstanding to know. And especially knowing about the tours next year. So we have a lot to see. There's so many great things to see. And like I said, whether it's through the photography groups or just little snippets of stories like these, we're really fortunate to live where we live. And we figured out where to get a $5 Christmas tree while we're at it. So, Selena. Yes. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Hope you have a great Christmas.
Thank you. And you guys too.
Yeah. Have a wonderful holiday season. And we'll talk to you in 2024.
Okay. Sounds good.
It still feels weird to say that. Time just marches on here. All right, Selena. Thank you so much. When we come back, we're going to talk to State Representative Jody Emerson, and we're going to get back to our top story about the University of Wisconsin system. The Board of Regents saying no to essentially some blackmail from the Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly and his continued assault on diversity programs. That conversation is coming up next here up north.
CBS News Brief. Parts of Tennessee are devastated this morning after tornadoes tore through, killing six people, including a two-year-old. Governor Bill Lee has declared a state of emergency.
There are victims whose lives are devastated and will never be the same.
Power may not be back for everyone for several weeks. The same system is flooding parts of the Northeast. As the war rages in Gaza, the humanitarian crisis deepens. CBS's Remy Innocencio.
A sniper killed my son, said this father. I will take revenge.
A CBS News poll finds most Americans do not approve of the way President Biden's handling the conflict. It could make a big difference in Michigan, a swing state where many Muslim Americans live, like this man in Dearborn.
The same way that they're being silent right now in the face of injustices, we're going to be silent in November 2024.
The president heads to Philly today to announce a grant for city firefighters. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The amount of underage cigarette and vape sales in Wisconsin has more than doubled since 2019. That's according to the University of Wisconsin Survey Center, which sent underage customers to over 1,000 random retailers across the state. Around 13% of stores sold nicotine products to the underage customers. While federal law raised the minimum age to purchase tobacco in 2019, Wisconsin law has not, leaving some retailers confused about who they can and cannot sell to. While cigarette use has gone down in teens, vaping use has gone up. A new proposal would decriminalize having up to 14 grams of marijuana in Wisconsin. The bill would carry no jail time and drop fines to as low as $100. It would also give law enforcement more flexibility on a case-by-case basis. So far, the response among lawmakers has been mixed. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly cloudy by this afternoon. We'll see a high near 33. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low around 21. Winds will gust over 25 miles per hour at times. For Tuesday, sunshine, a high near 28. 33 and sun for Wednesday. That's weather from Severe Studios.
It's 21 right now.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
K.
There is a point in anyone's life or experiences where you have to stand up to bullies, even if it comes at some kind of a personal cost or a professional cost. And that is something that's happening with the University of Wisconsin system, now known as the Universities of Wisconsin, in terms of pay raises that are owed to tens of thousands of workers. And this is not something theoretical. The pay raises have been approved by the legislature, but one person, one man, Wisconsin's most powerful Republican, Robin Voss, the Speaker of the Assembly, is blocking them as part of a continued attack on diversity, equity, and inclusion programs on campus. He's been engineering a block on a new engineering building in Madison and so much more. An agreement was worked out, and I would put agreement in quotation marks, with the University of Wisconsin System President Jay Rothman. It was announced Friday midday. It was set to go to an emergency meeting of the UW Board of Regents on Saturday. And in a stunner, the regents voted 9-8 to reject it. It means the pay raises are still on hold so long as Robin Voss wants to play the role of Grinch. But it also is a real moment for the university in finally standing up to a legislature run by Republicans these past 12 years that have been using the UW system as a punching bag. State Representative Jody Emerson is the ranking Democratic member on the Assembly Committee on Colleges and Universities. Jody, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm all right. I will admit I am still stunned. And I guess in part because you and I both know one of the rules of politics, and including the politics of business or whatever, is you tend not to put something up for a vote unless you know you have the votes. And I have wondered out loud, did Jay Rothman like not, you know, poll the board? Were there no regents involved in these negotiations? Or was it a case that he thought it was going one way, but the discussion, from what I understand, was extremely emotional and personal? I mean, what's your impression of what went down on Saturday?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think it's amazing to even see the regents split a vote. Most oftentimes they come out with a unanimous vote on something. So even having a split vote was kind of unique this week. But then to have a split vote, there was some maneuvering of trying to table something, and that was a split vote. And I thought, well, that's how the end is going to be, you know, but some people switched their vote and ended up voting this resolution down. So I think it's that final piece that you talked about. I think it was a very emotional testimony from some of the regents. They talked about their personal piece, and you know, people really talked about why diversity matters and what it means. I thought Regent Manny Deeds had an excellent piece where he was talking about being at an Indian boarding school when he was a young person. You know, we've all heard of those terrible situations, but to think that that's somebody that I know had to go through that, you know, some of this terrible history for our country of taking kids away from their communities or doing awful things to people because of the color of their skin isn't as far in the past as we like to pretend that it is. So it's been a busy couple of days for the legislature, and especially some of us who are involved in the colleges and universities sphere. But it was an amazing vote, and I'm really proud of the Board of Regents for standing up and saying, you know, no, keep people deserve the raises, and let's accomplish it. And these buildings need to be replaced, and let's accomplish that. But we are not going to fall for this bullying anymore.
Well, and that bullying included Robin Voss's continued insistence that these diversity, equity, inclusion programs are completely essentially race-based. I think in his mind, he thinks it's reverse discrimination indoctrination or something. And meetings like Saturdays and the run-up to them helped remind us, well, first off, of the value of fighting racial injustice in the first place, but also that these programs aren't just about race. They are about helping veterans transition to a university setting. They are about improving access for women in fields like science and engineering. And yet it just seems like Speaker Voss is the one who suffers from indoctrination in having this oversimplistic view of what it means to be diverse and inclusive.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I'd like to point out too that the DEI programs came to our university because the business community was asking for them. The business community was saying, we need, in the global economy that we have, we need people who understand others better than they do right now, who are exposed to others more than they are. And so DEI, like you said, it's for veterans groups, it's for women in the STEM fields, it's for men in nursing, it's for being able to make sure that disabled folks on campus have what they need to succeed. And watching some Twitter comments and different things like that, I think a lot of people confuse DEI and affirmative action. So the DEI programs are about, once somebody is on campus, how can they succeed? What kind of helps do we need to put around them to make sure that they are going to be successful in their university time?
And that really is it. It's about success. It's about setting people up for success. Whereas, Robin Voss somehow thinks that it's some kind of groupthink. The only groupthink involved is how do we set people up for success, which is exactly what the University of Wisconsin system is supposed to be doing. And it's interesting that you mentioned DEI programs essentially come from the business world, where they want a diverse and successful workforce, because it's also the business community that's been looking at the Republicans running the legislature and saying, what are you doing blocking this new engineering building on the Madison campus, which would be basically like a super highway in the jobs pipeline? And then if you don't do that, all those jobs are going to be lost to other Big Ten campuses and other universities. It's still stunning to me that they're willing to, Republican legislators are willing to do that to their own business community that wants this project to stop being held up.
Exactly. I mean, we need that engineering building. The state of Wisconsin needs that engineering building. We find that when people go to school in a state, that's usually where they set up their early lives as adults, and as when they start their families. And when you start your family, you tend to stay in that area. So doing more programs that get more people to come here and stay here is going to help build Wisconsin. Over and over again, I hear from my Republican colleagues, nobody wants to work anymore. There's all these help wanted signs all over the place. Well, we need to build the programs that bring people here and keep people here. And having this argument that we've had about DEI, just how they don't see what their words convey to the general population, and how that says, Wisconsin's not a welcoming place. Just the conversation we've had in the last week over DEI is telling some people, you're not welcome here. And so I was thrilled that the Board of Regents stood up and said, we need these programs because we need a diverse population. We need diverse thought. We need diverse ideas. And that goes back to the conversation we've had on colleges and universities about free expression and free speech and how we need diversity of thought. We've had these conversations on this committee for months now because of the survey that was done on college campuses about a year ago. And you can't have diverse thought and diverse opinions without having diverse people in there. And so how doing away with DEI was going to accomplish any of the goals just blows my mind. But, you know, that's life in the legislature.
And rightfully so, the members of the Legislative Black Caucus were asking, who is at that table making negotiations on behalf of Black and Brown students on campus? Who decided to undervalue our students and staff by a staff of color by setting a price tag on their inclusion? And one of the some of the more strong reactions came from some of your other colleagues in the legislature. You know, Representative Francesca Hong couldn't join us this morning, but you know, she was equally adamant out there that there was a lack of diversity in this very discussion about diversity.
Yep.
And that needs to change.
Exactly. And, you know, we have shared governance in our statutes about making sure that students and faculty and staff have a say in what happens at our university. And for this discussion to be between President Rothman and the speaker, not even including the Senate, you know, just those two people. And I understand that negotiations have to start somewhere, but for it to be only those two people for the longest time up until the very end, that's not how we do things in the public sector. I know President Rothman came from the private sector fairly recently, but we need more people at the table. And as the old phrase goes, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu.
That's right. And look, it's also worth noting that this is a Robin Voss thing. Yes, there's plenty of Republicans that maybe agree with him, but not all of them. Senate Republican leader Devin LeMahieu had said last week he did not agree with Voss on withholding the pay raises, saying that these tens of thousands of UW employees, you know, do not have a say in the process. And he was optimistic that Voss and Rothman and others might work this out. But let's be clear that when Voss made his reaction to all of this on Twitter over the weekend, and he said, "It's a shame the Board of Regents, they've denied employees their raises and investments so that they could continue their ideological campaign to force students to believe that only one viewpoint is acceptable on campus." No, the shame is that one man can have this level of power because he can say the word today and those already approved pay raises would start happening.
Yeah. The irony of him blaming somebody else for withholding the pay raises when he is the one who is refusing to bring it up in his committee for a vote when we've already allocated the other money for the other contracts for public employees. How he doesn't see that he is the person standing in the way just boggles my mind. And, you know, to say that keeping diversity, equity, and inclusion is making a monolithic thought on college campuses. I don't know. Somebody get that man a dictionary for Christmas because he's not understanding what those words mean, I guess.
No, he's not. Here's a Facebook comment from Mark saying Voss's proposal was an insult to higher education and provided a massive loophole to exert his own narrow-minded conservative values on all within the system. Promoting diversity is a win for students, educators, and society as a whole. A leader who promotes fear of others is no leader at all. Thank you to Jody. So thank you to Mark for bringing that comment in. This gets a little bit more in the weeds to start to wrap things up, but I wonder about this. The people who voted no on the Board of Regents were Evers appointees. I think this is only going to potentially exacerbate the problem of Devin LeMahieu and Senate Republicans either voting against or even trying to fire more Governor Evers appointees on these boards. In other words, while this whole thing could end tomorrow with Republicans respecting the right of a governor to make appointments and let those raises, you know, go through, I'm afraid I'm not terribly optimistic in the near term about how all this is going to go.
Yeah, well, thankfully they did just actually appoint and confirm a whole bunch of the regents. So I think out of the whole board, I think there's four that are not confirmed. You know, who knows what's going to happen to those folks, but they need to get a grip and realize that they are not in ultimate power anymore. And the executive branch has the right and responsibility to do appointments. Mm-hmm. And except for in a situation where they're wildly unqualified, you need to let the executive have the person that they are asking for. helping their administration. So
otherwise you're undermining the will of the voters, you know,
who elected them. Well, we know how they feel about that. So.
Yes, we do. Not once, but twice. Representative Jody Emerson, thank you very, very much. We appreciate it. And talk to you again soon.
Good to see you, Pat.
Yep. You too. Have a great day. When we come back, Civic Media News Director Terry Bell with three things you need to know to start the week. Back after this, you're up north.
We're gliding along with the song of a wintry fairyland.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
An RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
What do you want for Christmas? What is your heart's desire?
Here I was so proud of myself. You know, normally the old 97s bring in Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director, with three things you need to know. And it turns out the old 97s did a Christmas album, Greg. And I was so happy about that. And then I realized at the start of this commercial break, I still hadn't sent Terry the link to join the show. So I hope now that he's here, he appreciates the old 97s Christmas tunes that we're playing.
I actually found Pat, because I love the old 97s. I don't know if you know this about me, but I found a great other Christmas song they did. Hold on one second. I'm going to just pull this up here.
Oh, yeah. Stop it. Stop.
I have the power.
He is not going to let this one go.
We've been Rickrolled. I'm well, yes, Pat.
I apologize. Apologies for being late on getting you to the link there, but you're here.
And
that volleyball match with the Badgers in Oregon. That was fun to watch.
Moly, I feel bad for anybody who wasn't watching volleyball on TV because it is so exciting. And that match Saturday night, oh my goodness, you saw some death-defying feats of absolutely yes. fearless athleticism. Those players chasing balls that, you know, in any other setting would have been out of bounds and the point would have been awarded and you move on. But, oh, my gosh, the Badgers ran after and saved some really errant balls. And it was just so exciting to watch. They're all over YouTube and whatnot. If you missed it Saturday night, go look that stuff up because, boy, was it exciting.
We were watching at one of our favorite little hole-in-the-wall places, the Albertville Tavern, between Eau Claire and Menominee. And, you know, having just some delicious ribs and, you know, folks are watching it. And you can tell a lot of folks, you know, that don't watch it regularly were amazed, especially since one of the comments I heard most often was that they're diving the way they are on these hardwood floors.
Ooh,
they're
used
to seeing beach volleyball where, you know, diving for something doesn't have nearly the degree of, look, my bones would be shattered if I tried to dive on the floor like they do.
My gosh, yeah, they are just so fearless and so brave and just a lot to admire and get excited about. It's going to be a big Final Four.
It really is, yeah. Come Thursday, that all gets going here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we talk about three things you need to know to start the week, obviously we've covered this one a little bit, but you know, for the purposes of making this formal, if there's three things you need to know to start, you know, your news diet this week, it's this. DEI funding, I guess, shall we say, showdown between mm-hmm. Robin Voss and the Board of Regents.
Right. So on Friday, we got word of this announcement that the president of the University of Wisconsin System, Jay Rothman, and the Republican leaders of the state legislature had reached a deal that would have freed up some things that the university was looking for, that the legislature was holding up, things like money for pay raises, an engineering building at the Madison campus, and things like that. They struck this deal, and I guess the broad feeling was that it was just a formality, this Board of Regents meeting, but not necessarily so. The Board of Regents on Saturday sent that deal back, rejected it on a vote of 9-8. And those who voted against it, it, from what I've read, it sounds like they just felt that it was giving up too much and was setting a bad precedent for the future, not only in Wisconsin, but around the country.
It does. It does completely send that kind of a message. And it's why, you know, for these next few days, maybe there will be an opportunity to save face. But at this point, as I'd said before, if members of the Board of Regents see this as bullying and that they needed to stand up to bullying, and it means the pay raises and the new engineering building are both on hold in order to get a better way to preserve DEI programs, clearly they feel that that is a fight worth having. And it's something that's going to be, I think, a very important matter to be covered down there in Madison for the foreseeable future.
Yep, that'll be one of the big issues in the weeks and months to come, for sure.
Yep. Next up, we've spoken only briefly about this one, but that there are bipartisan bills now that would extend opportunities for DACA recipients. Again, this is just a very finite subset of people who came over as children of undocumented immigrants, who Wisconsin and the United States, it's the only home that they've ever known. And I think what makes this interesting, Terry, is that when I say it's a bipartisan bill, it's obviously Republicans are in the majority, and there's a growing number of Republicans who say, yeah, this makes sense from a workforce standpoint, if not a humanitarian standpoint, and it's time to do something like this. It's a very refreshing change in Madison.
I think you hit the nail on the head, too. I think this has a lot to do with the workforce shortage in Wisconsin and just how badly the situation has gotten, and how much lawmakers now recognize that something needs to be done. How much this will make a dent in the workforce shortage, I'm not really sure. But yes, people who have only lived in America their whole lives, now they will get the same kind of in-state tuition. And of course, the bills need to get through the process, but the bills would let DACA recipients get in-state tuition. They're also would be eligible for getting licensed for many state jobs, which is a requirement of a lot of professions. And I don't see any resistance to this at all. I think a lot of people all over the aisle think this is a good idea.
Yeah. In fact, when we talked to Tony Gonzalez about it last week, he was saying that this could come up in committee, in a legislative committee, as early as this week. And it's not something that that I have seen yet, but I have not looked at this week's committee list. But he gave every indication that this is, now that you've got enough Republicans on board, that this is going to move along, at a pretty good clip, and maybe be able to take hold. And then finally, we note that the Ukrainian president is coming to the U.S. this week. But another group that's meeting is a group of people trying to basically cut off all aid to Ukraine, and that would jeopardize aid to Israel as well. So this is going to be a contentious week, I think.
Right. So aid to Israel and Ukraine was left out of the deal that kept the government going for a few more weeks. Last time we had a government shutdown looming. So there are talks to put that money back in the budget. And as of the Sunday talk shows, it looks like those talks really had gotten nowhere.
Yeah. So different moving parts going on, it's something that you're going to want to follow through top of the hour news updates and everything that Terry Bell does with the folks at Civic Media. Terry, thanks so much. Have a great week.
Thank you, Pat.
And a good holiday season, too. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
All right. And we'll see you in the new year. And Greg, thank you so much as well. We'll pick this up again Tuesday morning. Earl Ingram is coming up next across many of these Civic Media radio stations. Chad Holmes in Wausau is next. Stephanie Miller's next in Madison. James and the gang in Wisconsin Rapids are coming up. Hey, remember, wherever you are, all of Wisconsin is America's true up north. And we're glad you could be with us for a while up here on the lake. Have a great Monday. I'll see you here tomorrow.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W22 ADP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere.